This is the Formation Lab.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Formation Lab from the decidedly not 101 ESPN studios. Today's audio disaster, I'm joined by, as always, by Tim and by the saving grace of this entire show, Grant. Grant, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Luke?
I'm not doing too bad. Tim, it's good to like kind of have the gang back together.
Yeah, it's been a minute since you and I did a show together. It's just been me and Dylan rocking along for a while, and then you and everybody else.
Yeah, so Dylan, so my computer last week blue screened, and for those of you who know me, it's like a literal like laptop. It's a workhorse of a laptop, but it blue screened, and I was like, oh well, we're not trusting that anymore. So if we built an entirely new rig, and hopefully there's some good things come out of that, but I'm not going to lie to you guys. The last two races or so haven't been the most thrilling, but you know, there's still stuff to cover here. I put out a tweet the other week that said, hey, in lieu of this week's episode, just make fun of Ferrari for about 40 minutes in your mind, and that'll be the effect.
And to be honest with you, not a whole lot changes this week because Ferrari once again shot themselves in the proverbial foot. But we have other things to cover that are both off track and a little bit on track. So I think we go ahead and bag the conversation on Zandvoort, because let's be honest, we all three fell asleep during it because it was early and terrible.
I watched the whole thing from race control, and drying off the track was more thrilling than some of the moments, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, it's Zandvoort is a beautiful track to drive if you're alone for a time trial or for a qualifying session.
I'm sure in sports cars it slaps on races too.
Absolutely, but it does not slap with Formula One cars. I think our time as a trio here, the unholy triumvirate, as it were, would be better spent talking about the controversies that are exploding out of the Red Bull camp.
Yes. And in fact, I should mention, Grant and I were texting about this earlier today.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how this came on. Grant came on like 5 hours ago. I was like, you should come on the show today.
I think it was today you invited me on. I think it was last night. I sent you a text, something about, we were talking about something, and then I was like, oh yeah, I heard it to AlphaTauri, but he doesn't have the super license points. And then I started looking up the way super license points are given out to different series in their championships, and I was looking at some of those series, and I'm like, why does this one earn more than, you know, this one? And it's just stuff that didn't really make any sense to me at least.
Yeah. So let's start with this, like, what we know so far, which is that Helmut Marko and Red Bull would really like to get Colton Herta into the AlphaTauri seat. Now Fernando moves, Seb retires. Okay. Fernando moves to Aston. Okay. That leaves an opening at Alpine. Pierre Gasly desperately wants to get out of the Red Bull system. I don't blame him. So he's going to go to Alpine, which is, I think, the worst kept secret. Now we have an opening at AlphaTauri, and Red Bull reportedly really wants Colton Herta to get there. The problem is that in order to race in Formula One, you need a license. It's called a super license, and you have to have several requirements. The big one of which is you have to accumulate 40 super license points over three seasons. Those are given out by winning championships or championship finishes in other higher tier races, right? The most of which is given out in Formula Two. Problem is that Colton Herta is on raw pace one of the fastest drivers I've ever seen. He does not have enough points because he races in IndyCar. And this is where it goes. This is kind of the controversies. Helmut Marko and Red Bull would really like the FIA to grant an exception to that, a force majeure, which is in the rule book, by the way. They can do that if they want to. And others are like, well, no, we have to change the rules. And then it's a whole kerfuffle. Let me just, in a word, boys, we all are on the same page that Colton Herta is without a doubt talented enough for Formula One, right?
Yeah, I think when you just watch Colton, you see he has some of the fastest hands on the grid. Mm-hmm. Even just going back to Indianapolis with the Grand Prix, where we've all seen the slide that he pulled off, yep. Then passed, I think it was Pato he passed right after that. So yep. Just a bit of a power move. And then in Indy 500 practice, where unfortunately he crashed into turn one, but whereas most guys would have, you know, the car would have already been lost, he's still sort of like right off the bat, he already fought it. Mm-hmm. But he's just got some really fast hands, and I think that's a pretty big talent. You don't really see anyone reacting that quickly to the car as fast as he does, at least in my opinion.
Of the entire Tim? IndyCar crop right now, if I had to pick anyone, it would be one of the three, be it Colton Herta, Alexander Palou, or Pato O'Ward. I think they are the three youngest. They are the three with the best racecraft. Personally, I think Pato is the clearly superior driver. Mm-hmm. Just seeing him at the Bonrito 500 where we went with Dylan, he pulled off this inside out move going into turn three that I just thought was inspired, and he did it on Colton Herta. And you know, I also think that Colton, I think the reason I discount Colton in my mind is because he is very prone to making dives that he probably shouldn't. I think about Nashville last year where he just roasted those brakes. He yeah. completely destroyed them. And he ended up in the wall after the bridge section. And, you know, I would say that's how I would pick him out of IndyCar. Now, granted, Pato O'Ward is in the McLaren system. He's going to be a McLaren guy if that ever comes up. McLaren, and I'll table that conversation for McLaren being whatever right now with their dealings with certain drivers. But you know, obviously discount Alexander Palou for whatever he just pulled on Chip Ganassi. And I'll let that play out in court. But my money's on Chip winning and then probably coming down personally and beating the daylights out of Alexander Palou. Because that's a big, scary man. And I love you, Chip Ganassi. I think you're a fantastic manager, and I hope that you'll have me on for an interview someday. But we do
agree though, Colton Herta has the pace.
Absolutely. He has the raw pace and the raw talent. He needed to be molded. He needs a Franz Tost to mold him. The good news is that Alpine has an open seat. Pierre Gasly is French and very fast. Now, he and Esteban Ocon do not get on whatsoever. Their fight goes back to F3. It's amazing. They hate each other. Having that French pairing at a French team, take my money now. I want to see that all day, every day. But it does open up the spot at AlphaTauri, and Colton Herta would be a very logical choice to put in next to Yuki Tsunoda. Should Yuki Tsunoda stay for the 2023 season?
Let's talk about these 40 super license points, because this is the big thing. All right. So again, what you need to know is that, I mean, there's other stipulations like, oh man, they have to be a minimum age of 18. They have to have a valid driver's license. Should mention that the super license system was put in effect after Verstappen got in. And they dressed it up as making sure that no gentleman drivers, only the worthy, can race in Formula One, which has given us such brilliant drivers as Nikita Mazepin. You remember Brendan Hartley? You remember Brendan Hartley?
Brendan Hartley was a decent WEC driver, and I think he got done and dirty. I have no argument.
We've kept the riffraff out like Rio Haryanto. but anyway, so it was put in, and of course you have to be 18, have an FIA theory test, but it's the big points. It's the 40 points. Winning the Formula 2 championship grants you 40 points. I
think placing inside the top three gives you 40 points as well.
You're right. Yep. Yep. So second or third. So anybody in the top three immediately has a super license as long as they complete a theory test, which I don't even know what that would look like. Anyway, here's the rub though. Okay. Is the IndyCar series, you get an automatic super license if you win. That's 40 points, right? And this is a rolling 3-year period, so you have to have 40 points over these 3 years. IndyCar gets 40 for first, 30 points for second. Oh, look at that. They're already 10 points behind Formula 2. 20 points for third compared to Formula 2's 40. 10 points for fourth compared to Formula 2's
30. That's really steep.
Yeah. 8 points for fifth compared to 20 for Formula 2. You could finish fifth in back-to-back Formula 2 championships, and they say that's the equivalent of 1/3 place finish in IndyCar. It goes down from there. Here's the fun one, too. The FIA Formula 3 championship gets you 30 points. Second gets you 25. Oh, wait, hold on. That's 10 less than IndyCar. Then it's 5 less than IndyCar. Finishing third in the IndyCar series is the same amount of points as finishing third in the Formula 3 championship. Now, I don't know who R. Stanek is. Stanek, third place in the Formula 3 2022 championship. Not going to lie. Haven't seen his name pop up very often. I guess he won in Imola. But I'll tell you right now, I think the more applicably ready driver would be Scott Dixon in IndyCar, if you're looking at 20 points.
Yeah. And that's all completely valid. Like it's bogus that they're pulling this and say, and giving the F series open wheel guys a huge leg up. That's indisputable. That is absolutely what they're doing. But I have a different argument.
Okay. Let me just point out too, good old Roman Stanek is in his third. He's Roman Stanek. There we go. He did 3 years of Formula 3. Formula 3 championship. Yeah, 3 years of Formula 3. Really, really impressive guy there.
Ridiculous. Anyway. That 3 years of Formula 3, whereas what is Colton Herta now? Year 5 in IndyCar?
Four. I want to say four.
Well, okay. Did he win? Was it? No, I think 2018 he won at COTA?
I think it was 2018.
So he's won in an open wheel car in a hybrid V6 on a Formula One circuit. It's good. This is good.
Yeah, that was I think that was his rookie year as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna take it back. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take it back a long way. Probably before Grant was born.
Ooh,
the year is 2000. Grant, am I right? You're not born yet.
2 months. 2 months.
Okay, so I'm off by 2 months. But it is before Grant was born. So back in the year 2000, we had all survived the Y2K nonsense, and the world seemed new and plucky, and you know, an F1 team wanted to give a test to a young up and coming driver. This driver had only done 23 races, nowhere close to the super license points necessary at the time. Since then, Luke is right. They have upped the number of super license points so that someone can't just back into it like one Max Verstappen.
To say that it never happens anymore. Nikita Mazepin.
Exactly.
And Nicholas Latifi. Sorry, I got something in my throat there. Carry on.
Well, they also came with daddy's money. And Colton Herta's dad is there helping him at the track every day. So one's a better father than the other. And I'm just going to say it's Colton's dad. So
go Brian.
That's better than the racist Jos Verstappen, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway,
2000.
Back in 2000, a guy who had only raced 23 professional races, period, ever, was offered a seat, and they got special dispensation from Max Mosley at the FIA. And he said, I will give you a temporary super license for the first four races of 2001. And in 2001, the year Grant was born, this guy lit up the entire world. And it was at that time that we knew the Iceman cometh. And to you know, and I would put it in more lewd terms, but that guy was a rock star. Yeah. And it was Kimi Raikkonen who got the special dispensation to have a temporary super license to be able to race. And he gave us a 22-year Formula One career. Well, give or take when he went to NASCAR, neither here nor there, but it was a very long career that he had, a very storied career, and he was a world champion. The fact that they are putting up these barriers now and raising the barrier to entry. And it, I'm also kind of pissed that they took the added pressure and saying that they didn't need new teams as a direct shot against the Andretti organization. Why is the FIA anti-American right now? Because we have these talented individuals and these organizations that can get in and compete. Like, why are they doing this? That's my question. And I think that's the big question that I'm going to lay at the feet of the FIA.
I want to hear Grant's take on this as an American racer. Grant, someone who has been over to Europe.
Grant has to be a whole lot more careful than I do because he, you know, what he says actually goes to sponsors. But Grant, I'm just saying that it's just nationalism. That's all it is.
I'm going to say we are recording in America, so you can plead the fifth. But do you get those anti-American vibes right now?
I wouldn't say anti-American. I'd just say because if you look at ever since Liberty Media, is it Liberty Media?
Yep, Liberty.
Yeah,
Media.
Yeah, Liberty. They bought Formula One. They bought Formula One. They've got Drive to Survive, and all of a sudden, Formula One blew up in America. So I'd like to see them waive the, you know, just the barrier for Herta if he is going to AlphaTauri. I'd like to see, you know, Pato over there and, Alex. I just want to see more of a mixture between IndyCar and Formula One guys because, Grosjean came back. Well, he didn't come back, but he came over to IndyCar from Formula One and everyone lost their minds because they're going another Formula One drivers in IndyCar. We've got Takuma Sato, Alexander Rossi, Max Chilton, Grosjean. Who else am I missing that came from Formula One at some point?
Yeah.
And all these guys are, you know, coming over here to race. I'd like to see a guy go from IndyCar over to Formula One. Just so we can get an even better comparison of, oh, how could I forget the Indy 500 winner this year, Marcus Ericsson? Yeah. So
it's an interesting, an interesting point though, because do you think that's maybe what they're afraid of? Because there does seem to be an element of superiority in these proceedings where
FIA has given out.
Yeah, I think there's a vibe.
I think there's a bit of fan superiority in Formula One where I have some friends who don't even watch IndyCar because they firmly believe that Formula One is the pinnacle of motorsport.
I'm just going to throw this out there. This entire show was wrapped around that basis. I'm just going to say that they are genuinely not racing fans if you don't freely acknowledge that IndyCar right now is a superior racing product. There's no two ways about it.
I tried to explain to them that it's similar but different. Whereas IndyCar, you've got, you know, ovals and stuff, which takes a whole different way of racing, the same car basically, but it's you're driving it differently. And I remember my first oval test last year on a USF 2000 car, and it was weird. I had to learn a few things, and so it'd be a huge change, I think. But I want to see Herta go over there because I feel like that would be very good for the American market to have an American driver in Formula One. And then they come here to Vegas and we've got three races in America next year. And so if you have an American driver, suddenly everyone's going to lose their mind, I think, because the last American driver, I think,
Rossi?
It was Rossi.
I thought it was Scott Speed.
Scott Speed was 2000. Rossi drove for, I think it was Marussia.
Yeah.
Drove six races, I think it was.
Yeah, right before they folded, which is funny because you'll see really bad takes about how like Rossi's an F1 reject, and it's like, no, his team went bankrupt, dude. Like,
I was like, no, he just, that's just bad luck, which is honestly the theme of Rossi's career. But I do think there's an element of superiority and a nervousness to maybe an IndyCar driver coming over and actually slapping and doing really well, because then they'll be forced to admit that the talent is the same.
But let's talk about that, because I think that is the intentional design, right? And Formula One will dress it up like, we don't want we don't want gentleman drivers in F1, and that's why we have the super license points to keep the riffraff out. But I mean, as we said, you know, Nicholas Latifi is driving right now, and I don't think anybody would say that he's not completely outclassed by any competent driver in Formula One.
I think Latifi is a true mastermind, though. We'll talk about Abu Dhabi 2021. I think that was a mastermind move.
sorry for committing Gotifi slander here, guys.
Gotifi, get out of here. That guy is the most ransacked mess. And it's all but I still blame Michael Massey. I still hold him personally responsible for bungling Lewis Hamilton's deserved eighth championship. In my mind, he's an eighth champion, and Max didn't deserve it. So there's your hot take.
I'll throw this one out there. I can't call Max a fake champion after this year, though. He wins this
My interpretation.
Did he win or did Ferrari lose?
So he lucked
into it. I'm sorry. He has become what he was espousing against the entire 2021 season. He's like, Lewis just puts his foot down and he disappears. And that's all Max has done this year, because Ferrari can't get their shit together. And I'm sorry, Mercedes is on the back foot. They picked the wrong, philosophy for the aerodynamics. Max lucked into it. He won because other people lost, not because he won. Sorry, he's a fake champion.
Tim the race was what, 9 months ago, and people are still in the F1 comment section arguing about this.
Lewis Hamilton was the real champion. Hashtag bring back the Hamilton verse. I'm gonna make a thing.
I think Lewis deserved to win the race last year, but I think Verstappen, you could make an argument that Verstappen deserved the championship just based on Verstappen finishing every single race where Verstappen didn't DNF, he was on the podium.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that when you have to break the rules, in order to get a when you have to break the rules to get a finish like that, there's
very dramatic there's finish.
Yeah. Now you're not going to tell me that he's not I'm just saying Red Bull's the champion this year. I mean, you have to build a reliable car, right? But last year,
though, because let's be honest, they've had some mighty embarrassing DNFs, and that's not Honda's fault. That's their in-house fault. So it's all down to Red Bull. There's a reason they jumped at that Porsche sponsorship quickly.
So let's get back to the super license real quick. I think the reason that you're not seeing the IndyCar series pushed up in terms of the super license points, by the way, there used to be, Tim, you probably remember this, Formula Renault back in the day.
Yes, that was a minor league feeder system for instead of the F1, F2, F3, you would have Formula 3000, you'd have Formula Renault, you'd have Formula Ford for a while
Formula Ford's still a thing.
Formula Ford's still around. There you go.
Ford, yeah. That's what I was in the UK for.
Formula Ford still around. See, making great champions still out of Grant. This is great.
So, I'm happy. Yeah. I think there were a lot of drivers actually so we had on the team I drove on, there was a Team USA scholarship and everything where drivers got picked to go race the Walter Hayes and the festival and all this other stuff, Brands Hatch, Silverstone, Formula Ford. And so the team I was on, I drove the car that Oliver Askew drove when he was over there. And so I think it was 2008. Joseph and Connor actually drove Formula Ford. But anyways, while I was over there, I learned so much about Matthew Brabham just killing Formula Renault every weekend. So
I was going to say, he didn't look bad in the Indy Lights series. Guys, no. I got to be honest, Matthew Brabham, and I apologize, I wasn't on the show for the Bomberito 500 breakdown. Matthew Brabham was absolutely lights out great. He took a really apocalyptically bad start, and over 60 some odd laps, you could see him building that pace and building the move up. It was absolutely fantastic to see. I cannot wait to see what happens next for his career.
Maddie has a good championship or a good pedigree, a good career ahead of him. Goodness, I'm thinking of career and I said championship.
Slow and have the last name Brabham. I'm sorry. That just can't happen.
I think part of the reason that this is because the FIA killed competing feeder leagues. You saw that with Formula Renault. I'm looking it up now. F3 Asian Championship. You remember that? That's not a thing anymore. I think that's the whole reason is if the IndyCar series gets a bump in points, now all of a sudden, oh, there's a better place to be than Formula 2. The problem is that IndyCar is a better place to be in Formula 2. The back half of the Formula 2 field is not just going to go over to IndyCar and find an IndyCar seat. Like, when you're looking at Formula 2, right? You got maybe three decent drivers in a given year, thereabouts. Maybe if you're a good year. But how many of the, 15 drivers there are actually good enough to transfer over into open wheel racing in America? Three?
I don't know. Maybe.
The other thing too is I've seen that some might argue that IndyCar awards a road and street course championship every year, and Colton Herta leads IndyCar in road and street course champ in that for the last 3 years. Basically, if you took out all the ovals, Colton Herta is the best driver in IndyCar, which, of course, is a crucial part of IndyCar as a sport. But if you're going to the FIA and saying that the ovals don't really count for F1 experience, this man should have a license because based on what was relevant to F1, I'm not sure I agree with that. But that is the argument that Red Bull seem to be trying to make.
It's an interesting argument. I'd say that they are reaching for anything they can get. And to be honest, the FIA should really, really should make an exception here and try to find a creative way around it, like Max Mosley did with Kimi Raikkonen, where you say that you're going to give him a temporary license or something along those lines, a trial basis. Anything you can do to get him in the seat and keep things moving. You've got Alpine suffering, one of your biggest your biggest manufacturer teams who's really trying to, stay in the right direction. To put a French driver in their car would be a huge boon for them. It'd be a good boon for the American fans. Really, the only thing that's standing in their way is the nature of their racing series prejudices, which I think should be tossed out. I think Colton Herta definitely merits coming over to Formula One.
It's weird. Go ahead.
Oh, I just got a random idea on how to fix the super license system.
Get rid of it.
So my idea would be this in December, sometime in December every year, you get a top gear star in a reasonably priced car. You get 40 drivers. They all have to, the top 40 drivers get their super license point or super license for the next year. That way it eliminates all whatever. So
you get the F1 champion, all right? You put him in a Mazda Miata, all right?
Yeah.
And then you get how many ever people want to apply for a super license?
Whoever wants to go for Formula One, their super license, they have to be within.
They also have to be endorsed by a team. That way, I can't just roll up. And then as long as you're within 110% of the pace of Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen in a Mazda Miata, you're in.
that would have cured us of Latifi. That's all I'm saying.
what would be really interesting is if guys like us showed up and then we put up the top five time or something. That would be really interesting.
Which brings me to some I want to point out too that I learned while I was I knew the super license system, but obviously over the last week or so we've been doing a little more deep. Did you know that drivers pay for their super licenses? Like you pay a fee.
I know that it is part of the contract negotiation that the teams usually cover that for them at the upper tier, because I know that I read about it in with Lewis Hamilton's contract negotiation 2 years ago, is that that was part of it. He was wanting more for more results, and they said, well, we already cover your super license expense. Good Lord, come on. So that's not bad.
Do you know how much that is, by the way? And I'm going to tell the listeners what it is. No, it's 10,000 euros as a base. Okay. 10,000 euros as a base. And then another 1,000 euros at every single point you get in the championship. Right. So if we're going over to F1.com, right, we're going to go over to the drivers, blah, blah, blah. Max Verstappen has 310 points. There's 7 races left. It's pretty even to me that he'll win at least 5 of those, right?
Yeah.
5 of those 7, yeah, right?
Sounds about right.
Max Verstappen's going to have to pay the FIA about 450,000 euros this year just for the right to drive.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean,
a piece of paper that says he can race in Formula One, the reigning champion is out $500,000.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
This is on the Wikipedia for FIA super license, because I'm there because I would like the the table of the points. I can't remember that off the top of my head, right? But Jenson Button's total super licensing points for the 2010 season, based on his 2009 results, were variously recorded at over $250,000 euros by one source and approximately $1.28 million or €1 million by others.
And you have to remember that these fees are a drop in the bucket for the teams that are actually winning them.
They are.
That is a cost of doing business, and that's how they see it. Now it's just rampant, extortionate practices by the FIA, but
that's kind of what I'm getting at is like, to me, when you start charging that much for it, it goes from man, you really must be doing this for the good of the sport, to, how much is that? That's about $10 million for y'all just to have a little shiny piece of paper that says you can do it.
I feel like we're dangerously close to also talking about very expensive pieces of paper in the education space.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that because I know that Grant is working hard on his college degree. It sounds like he actually has a very interesting semester ahead of him. But it's not incorrect. It is a very expensive piece of paper.
And it's just, why? What is the point of charging those fees other than, I think that's part of the reason.
I think there's two ways to look at it. You can look at it as they want specific, I guess you have to be endorsed by a team to get, there has to be some sort of connection to actually get it. Because I think with NASCAR, you can just go buy your license and then say, I'm a NASCAR driver.
Yeah.
And they want to sort of keep it in the series or something, whatever. And then the other way you could look at it is they, just want a bunch of money, which unfortunately racing revolves around funding and stuff. And I'm sure the logistics and all that other stuff of Formula One, they need a lot of money, but I think I'd have to have like an itemized receipt to understand why it's that expensive. So if anyone from the FIA is listening, please let me know so I can write this out and try and find more sponsorship.
Watch like 9 million of it go to staff. They're like, just 9 million of it. You know, the staffing costs are so high. And it's like, okay, but you're hiring like 3 people. Tim, you brought up a thing earlier where you're like, you could just get rid of it, right? It sounds a little extreme, but I think you're onto something here, because think about this, right? the races themselves are not open. This is not the Indy 500 where you can roll up with a chassis and a, you know, a roller car, enter, and if you're on time, you're in the race, right? The races themselves are closed. So if you take away the super license system, teams are not just going to throw a bone to any Joe Schmo, right? They're going to throw a bone to two people, incredibly talented drivers that were already going to be on their radar with or without the super license system.
I think for this year, they have to give a young driver a test in practice one, all the teams.
Yes. Yeah. So, and which, by the way, yeah, that's an additional positive of the super license.
I think you get 1 point for a practice session.
Yeah. Was you can sell that seat because drivers will often pay for that.
So how many
team makes money off of it?
How many points does Colton Herta have at the end of the season?
He'll be at 32 this off season. If my math is right. So he's 8 short. Okay. So you'd have to do, the thing is if he fails, the thought is that they would send him over to Asian Formula 3. To do one off season, and then he would theoretically have enough. The problem is you're sending a driver like Colton Herta to Asian Formula 3. That's like, it's ridiculous. It's like a guy who makes 6 figures going to take like an internship, unpaid internship at a financial firm. Like, there's no reason you need to do that. Like, if you did away with it, you'd get drivers who are worthy already, and you would get drivers who daddy's going to fund them, right? But you're already getting daddies who are funding drivers. So I really don't see that this has negated that problem. Oh, we'll have more pay drivers. Like, we already have pay drivers.
Give out those seats like Williams or like Alfa Romeo where you're going to take the pay driver every time.
Yeah.
It's also a lot of people don't know that technically everyone in the lower levels are pay drivers. You have to pay to go racing.
Yeah.
it's very rare that some drivers aren't. They're getting their costs covered by the teams or by an external source. Like Red Bull has their, I don't know how their program works, but it seems like if you're in the Ferrari or Red Bull program, you're not getting an F1 seat anytime soon.
No.
But it could be getting covered that way. I'm not sure. I'm not in those programs. But I think once you get to the top, you're getting your funding covered for racing usually.
I'll speak from like my area of racing, like expertise, like where I work, which is in drag racing. And I will tell you right now that like I don't work for the NHRA, right? Like I don't work for the big touring boys, but I'll tell you that basically the only team that turns a profit in a given year is usually the champion. Everyone else washes out and loses a little money. But these are guys who fund their own stuff. They have sponsors so they can afford to take the hit. And if they're taking a hit, they work, you know, regular jobs too. Like the money just is not there in a lot of racing. Everyone's a pay driver.
Everyone's a pay driver, and it's a whole lot like minor league baseball.
Yeah, it kind of is.
You get a small little stipend. Maybe a little bit. The rest you have to cover on your own. So that's why you see a whole lot of like the Savannah Bananas are actually getting a little bit creative and doing really cool social media stuff just to raise some funding so their guys don't have to have part-time jobs at Hardee's.
Yeah, you're right. So I will say this is our team owners that I work with. Our team owners are usually business owners. So they will pay their people like a fair wage for the weekend. And then most of those guys do have jobs in racing and in construction of engines and chassis and whatnot for 4 days a week. And then the fifth day, the owner will fly them out. But like It's you can't turn a profit in racing. We're talking about some of the few teams that can right now, and not every one of them does. So let's. I feel like we've exhausted the Colton Herta topic. I don't know how else to say it other than I think the reason that he's not going to get in there is snobbery and politics.
I think he's going to get in.
If he doesn't, I think he will. Yeah. But if he doesn't, it's snobbery in politics.
I think he'll get in because there's going to be so much money that comes in behind him through,
yeah.
I just want to say through branding and yeah. just
American fandom.
Fandom. Because
Colton in Vegas. Colton in Vegas. Just think about that.
And Miami.
In Miami. He's making money.
So the amount of merchandise that would be sold in America just because there's a Formula One driver who is now American and we've got three races next year. The Drive to Survive fans aren't going to know this until, 2023 or not 2023, but probably like 2025. We'll go, oh, there's an American in Formula One because they don't watch.
Yeah.
But I think he'll get in. There's a lot that can be done with just having an American in the sport.
I agree. So let's talk a couple other things real quickly. We're going to wrap in about 5, 6, 7 minutes or here. So first off, Grant, I have to give you and I props. We got to brag on ourselves a little bit because Tim wasn't here when we talked about Austria, but we kind of called that the smoke flare should be an issue.
we did. And the fact that I heard it was a security guard who threw the flare out in Q2.
Well, that's classy.
Yeah. And everyone, I think there was a video, I like was quickly scrolling through Instagram at one point, and one of the comments said that, this is the outfit that the security guards were wearing. And you could literally see everyone just turn and look at this guy. Like, why'd you do that, man?
Yeah, I saw that picture. It was like a neoclassical painting of everyone like looking and yelling at that guy.
And I will say I'd give it a 3 out of 10. It was it wasn't a very good throw.
It looked like it was that throw looked like the man made an noise when he threw it. Like a
If you've ever seen the movie Rookie of the Year, where they're trying to throw the ball back onto the field, and that one guy throws it from the stands and it just hits the back of the fence.
Yes.
It kind of looked like that.
I've seen people on Twitter. They're like, well, it's not a solvable problem. You can't stop everyone from getting it in there. And I'm like, it is. I think F1 needs to up their safety game. I think they've been lax. And if you can't stop 100,000 people from throwing things on the track, one, I would argue that there are plenty of sporting events, even racing, that are able to curtail that. And two, if you can't stop that due to driver safety, I don't know why you should maybe not be in the business of having 100,000 people at a track.
I think it's track security that does that stuff, because Gateway, we've got, I don't think IndyCar might have security. I don't really know for sure.
Gateway, we hire out local security firms, but we instruct, or at least when I worked there, we would instruct them like, this is what you have to do, this, and this. And it's on track security. But that doesn't mean though, that when we see last year, with the wall of smoke, that's all technically against regulations, and Formula One had to have been looking the other way at that point.
I think it creates a huge, fan service to do that. So that's probably why they look the other way.
Yeah. The cool pictures.
They don't want to upset the Max fans, because the Max fans are super happy, super excited, and they want those pictures on the TV.
Yes.
So you make everyone miserable and make things a little unsafe for the benefit of Max again.
Shifting topics, IndyCar Championship Weekend is here at Laguna Seca. There are three guys here. All right. Technically Marcus Ericsson is in it, but he's not in it. There are three guys who are in it. Okay. One, Will Power, 523 points, does not have an F1 super license, despite being a one-time champion of the Indy 500, et cetera, all-time leader in pole positions. Will Power, not an F1 super license. Two, Joseph Newgarden. Three, Scott Dixon. Before we go, Tim, who are you picking? 20-point gap, but by the way, between Newgarden and Dixon and Power, that is roughly the difference between first and fifth place.
And where is Marcus Ericsson sitting?
484, so he's 40 points behind, give or take.
And it's a double points weekend?
I do think... Grant, is that a double points weekend?
I have no idea.
I always thought the end of the year was a double points decider.
Okay, hold on. I don't think it is. Is Laguna Seca double points IndyCar? I thought it stopped being double points. How Portland?
I think it did. I think the 500 is double points.
Without double points is up for grabs. The chase has more than likely been trimmed to three. Okay, no double points.
Okay, no double points.
It used to be double points. Newgarden, again, I will stand by the Indy 500 as a double points race. That is totally fine with me.
You said Willpower, Dixon, and Newgarden.
Yep. Dixon and Newgarden will have to finish, you know, first to Power's fifth or something like that.
I think it's going to be Scott Dixon.
Okay. I was about to say, one of us is going to have to pick Dixon, because if you don't, I would say, yeah, Dixon.
I was going to say, I kind of felt that coming. I think we've done this enough by now to where I can read that. I'm going to go with Dixon, and I'm going to take one for the team just because he's the safe bet in my mind, even though he has to win.
Will Power and Joseph Newgarden will get into some kind of tangle. The two of them will get hot, throw fisticuffs, and Scott Dixon passes them.
I think Joseph's going to win it. So Joseph has to win the race. How many points behind is he?
He's 20. So Joseph would have to win the race, and Power would have to finish fifth or below.
I think Joseph has a good shot.
Okay.
Just, I don't know how to describe it. Usually things tend to happen at the very last race. That's unexplainable. We saw that in the USF 2000 races at Portland last weekend. So, you know, it can be a storybook ending.
I don't disagree with either of those, but since you guys took Dixon and Newgarden, I will take Will Power. And Grant, when you're back on the show, we'll reconvene. We'll talk about the IndyCar season wrap. We'll get Ryan on too. And we will... Whoever is wrong will eat some crow. I'll take Will Power. All right. I don't mind a 20-point buffer. Honestly, I think this is maybe his magnum opus of a season. I mean, I know he's won the championship before, but to do it at his age with where he was a season or two ago, contender, but not, you know, like a serious title. This is an incredible season from him, win or lose.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And on that note, it is time to wrap. I've been Luke, joined as always by Grant and Tim. Grant, the fine people want to get a hold of you, see what's up. Where can they do that?
Everything I use is Grant Palmer Racing. My YouTube channel is The Real Grant Palmer Racing, because there's a second Grant Palmer Racing account that I don't have access to.
Well, that's right. How rude of that person.
Where is he? Is he around Minnesota? I'll rough him up.
clearly that's not his name.
So my YouTube channel would be it's got three videos on it as opposed to one. Sadly, that other YouTube channel has more subscribers than me. And then my Twitch is Danger Plays for Fun. It's in my Instagram bio, but everything I have is Grant Palmer Racing.
All right. Well, Grant, thank you so much. Tim, I will see you next week. Grant, I might see you next week, man. I don't know. We'll figure out what the schedule is like next week. See you guys very soon from all of us here at The Formation Lap. Hasta luego.
Goodbye.
Deuces.